and welcome to this week's episode of Ukraine Calling. I'm Oksana Smerechuk for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. And as always, we're bringing you our feature interview followed by some new music from Ukraine. This week, we're talking to Radoslava Chakmyshova from the International Renaissance Foundation. We'll be hearing about its work in Ukraine and about the latest Lviv Book Forum in which she was actively involved. But first, a roundup of the latest news. Three teenage schoolboys were killed in eastern Ukraine when they triggered a mine in an area that has seen heavy fighting between pro-Russian separatists and Ukrainian troops. The boys all studied at the same school in Horlivka, a town controlled by pro-Russian separatist forces, and were aged between 13 and 15. Horlivka mayor Ivan Prikhodko wrote in a social media post. Three people were injured in an explosion in Ukraine's pro-Russian separatist Donetsk, including a candidate for the post of leader of the self-proclaimed republic. The incident took place just 4 weeks after the head of the Donetsk People's Republic, Alexander Sakharchenko, was killed in a bombing at a cafe in broad daylight. The explosion happened near the local Communist Party's offices, as the last participants of a party congress were leaving the building, a DPR police officer told an AFP correspondent at the scene. Igor Khakimzyanov, the party's candidate for the post of the DPR leader, was among the wounded. Pro-Russian separatists are planning to hold a leadership election on November the 11th. Ukraine will build a military base on the Azov Sea and has sent more forces to the area to counter a worsening Russian threat, the head of Ukraine's armed forces told Reuters. He was referring to an arm of the Black Sea that is a flashpoint of tensions with Moscow. Viktor Muzhenko, chief of the general staff, said Russia had moved beyond covert fighting in the Donbas region, home of a Kremlin-backed separatist insurgency, and moved to building up its military presence on Ukraine's borders and to blatantly aggressive action against ships sailing to Ukrainian ports. The Azov Sea, a strategic arm of the Black Sea where Russia and Ukraine share the coastline, has become a flashpoint this year. Ukraine says Russia is preventing scores of vessels from reaching Ukrainian ports through spurious inspections and detentions. Washington, too, has called on Russia to stop harassing ships and has supplied Ukraine with U.S. patrol boats. Moscow, in turn, says Ukraine might try to blockade Crimea. Anatoly Chepiga, the military intelligence colonel identified as one of the two suspects in the Salisbury poisoning, has received Russia's highest military award, Hero of the Russian Federation, for his role in smuggling former President Viktor Yanukovych out of Ukraine in 2014, it has been claimed. A new report by the Dossier Center, a group funded by exiled oligarch Mikhail Khodorkovsky, has tracked several addresses where Mr. Chepiga is registered. One is a student dormitory in southern Moscow, which he shares with a dozen other servicemen with similarly blank public records. The report suggests that these men, too, could be intelligence officers. The report says that Mr. Chepiga was alongside Mr. Yanukovych when he scurried from his gilded Mezhehirye residence outside Kyiv on the 22nd of February and when he left the country from Crimea a day later. Ukraine's foreign ministry is demanding that Russia allow consular access to an imprisoned Ukrainian filmmaker, Oleg Sentsov, who has been on a hunger strike since mid-May. Russia's penitentiary service said the day before that an unspecified correction in Oleg Sentsov's treatment had been ordered. It published a photo of him being examined with a stethoscope. The filmmaker is an opponent of Russia's 2014 annexation of Crimea. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison in 2015 for conspiracy to conduct terror attacks. During a working visit to the United States, President Petro Poroshenko met with representatives of American business already represented in Ukraine or interested in developing business in Ukraine. The meeting, which took place in New York, was attended by representatives of some well-known American and global companies. In particular, leaders of such companies as Holtec, AT&T, IBM, Boeing International, Xcoal Energy Resources, Motorola Solutions, GE Transportation, Bunge Limited, Cargill, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Citibank and Greenbrier, as well as representatives of the American-Ukrainian Business Council, met with the president. The 56th annual WBC convention took place in Kyiv. Boxing legend and now mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, his brother Vladimir Klitschko, former WBC champs Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield all took turns addressing fans and the media with comments about how happy they were to be in Kyiv. The 56th annual WBC convention took place in Kyiv. Boxing legend and now mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, his brother Vladimir Klitschko, former WBC champs Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield all took turns addressing fans and the media with comments about how happy they were to be in Kyiv. Vladimir Klitschko welcomed the crowd and told the often heard story about the reason he never became WBC champ, because his brother Vitaly already held this title and they had made a promise to their mother to never fight one another. In the evening, an auction of signed boxing memorabilia was held, with the proceeds going to the children of war-torn Mariupol. One bidder bid $20,000 for a Klitschko, Holyfield and Lewis signed belt, then bid $55,000 for a Muhammad Ali signed glove. In total, $197,000 was raised.
Well, my guest this week on Ukraine Calling for Hromadske Radio here in Kyiv is Radoslava Chekmisheva. She's a communications coordinator of the well-known veteran NGO here in Ukraine, the International Renaissance Foundation. And she's also curator of the cluster War, which was at the recent 25th Lviv Book Forum, in fact, a week or two ago. We'll talk about all of this with her. And first, welcome, Radoslava.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, well, look, let's begin by reminding our listeners about the International Renaissance Foundation. As I understand it, it's one of the very first proper NGOs that were created here in Ukraine. Am I right?
Yeah, history of International Renaissance Foundation are more than 25th year, and it was founded by investor and philanthropist George Soros, and our mission is based in Ukraine, democratic values and open society.
So essentially democratization.
Yeah.
Now, as I understand it, quite famous Ukrainians were involved in persuading George Soros to come to Ukraine, like Bogdan Havrilishin and Bogdan Kravchenko, as friends of mine. Tell me, Soros has a very bad reputation in the eyes of autocratic, non-democratic governments, Hungary, Russia, for example. What has been his changing image here in Ukraine, do you feel?
I think that we should speak about Karl Popper.
Open society.
Open society, yes.
And its enemies, of course, and it's the enemies who are speaking.
We try to work with leading Ukrainian non-government groups and engage in develop a shared public policy agenda for all our country to catalyze initiative that addressed corruption and prevent democratic reforms in Ukraine. And it's very important for Ukraine after Revolution of Dignity and our new course.
And is it mainly grants you provide, training, leadership? What is the niche that you have created for yourself in Ukrainian society over the last 25 years?
Every year we get near 500 grants, and these grants are in a different thematic. Because we have six programs. It's a European program, human rights and justice, public health, European program, Roma program, and civil capacity program.
Civil capacity building. Good. Well, when I used to work for the UN, I was very closely connected to a person called Arthur Helton, who was a friend of Ukraine, an American lawyer, who sadly was killed by a bomb with Sergio Vieira de Mello in Iraq. But he was very active in what was called, as part of the Open Society's activities, the forced migrations aspect, dealing with refugees and others. So I remember the very good work that was done by this particular group. Now, tell me, you are the communications coordinator. So what is the main message that you carry on behalf of this organization?
We develop our society and try to make it open.
Right. So as we remind our listeners, Karl Popper, who wrote the famous book, Treatise on the Open Society and Its Enemies, he's like the founding philosophical father of this movement, and that Soros supported. And he's still alive, George Soros. He's what, about 90 now?
Near
90. There. Remarkable man. Okay. So let's move. Well, give me two words, your impression. What is the state of the NGO scene here in Ukraine? We've had the Maidan, we've had the Revolution of Dignity, we had an upsurge of new interest, new dynamism, new initiatives. And yet in the last year or two, fragmentation and a bit of, shall we say, tiredness has set in. Is it because of disappointment, disillusion, or just running out of steam, running out of energy?
I think that before a Revolution of Dignity, we have only state policy. But now NGO and civil society try to make in Ukraine public policy. And these differences are very important for understanding of reforms in general, because when we speak about public policy, we understand that all our society try to discuss this policy making, and because of it, every citizen of Ukraine can influence on this state policy and decisions.
Are you, the Renaissance Foundation, going to be involved in the preparations for the elections? Are you working on reforming, with others, on reforming the electoral system or even the rule of law aspect? What is your contribution, if any, in this area?
I know that before I work in IRF.
What is that?
I start after Revolution of Dignity. I know that International Renaissance Foundation try to make first exit poll in Ukraine. It was organization of Irina Bikeshkina. It's
Democratic initiatives or what?
Yeah. It was first exit poll in Ukraine.
Okay. Look, for our listeners, I'll remind you I'm speaking to Radoslava Cech-Mishova, who is the communications coordinator of the International Renaissance Foundation in Ukraine. Now, I saw you recently in Lviv at the 25th now, Lviv Book Forum, a huge and important event, and I would like you to share your impressions about that. But you were the curator of a cluster of events on the theme of war and memory. So first, your general impressions of the Lviv Book Forum.
I think that it's the main cultural event in Ukraine, and it's a place where all our writers, publishers, and curators and cultural manager can networking, speak about important semantics, and it's a place where all we who make Ukrainian culture can be on the same page.
So it's become a platform, if you want, a forum for not only, I would say, literary and cultural activists, because there are a lot of politics there, but scientists are there, producers of children's books, all those who are involved in the development of Ukrainian thought, culture, political life, political consciousness, if you want,
yes.
National consciousness.
And critical thinking, too.
That's very important, critical thinking. Now, I know you invited me to one of your events, which was a fairly exciting event. It was a discussion between two leading historians with rather different views on World War II. And I was in the middle as somebody from the outside. But again, critical thinking. I think the audience, which was very large, about 250, 300 people probably, they seemed to really appreciate the discussion. What was your impression?
It was very interesting for me because at all in a cluster where 10 events, and it was a presentation of the books, it was five thematic discussion, art exhibition of famous Ukrainian artist Andriy Yermolenko, and literary reading. And our discussion war and memory, what are in the memories of Ukrainians about wars in Ukrainian territory, it was I think interesting because in this discussion participants were Volodymyr Yevetrovich, Ukrainian Institute of National Memory, Georgi Kasyanov, famous Ukrainian historian who works in Academy of Science of Ukraine, Bohdan Nahailo.
Yours truly, yes.
You know.
A historian.
And Stanislav Fedorchuk, who are a civic activist, and he is from Donetsk and know all about
manipulation of memory.
Yeah, manipulation of memory.
Okay, let me just add, you know, for those who are listening, Lviv Book Forum, it's not simply a highbrow event. Imagine a city, a beautiful city like Lviv, which is taken over by thousands of people flowing in from all over, not only Ukraine, but many foreign visitors. And at the same time as there are hundreds of stands with the newest publications and old publications from publishers, you have events going on every half hour, maybe 10 or 15 events going on all around the city in different cafes, museums, halls. And you can literally just pick and choose and go and listen to what you're interested in. So it is very much, as you say, probably the main cultural event of Ukraine now, though there is this famous book fair held in Kyiv at the Arsenal in the spring of each year, which I think rather than compete, they overlap and, shall we say, are synergetic. Okay, what other topics did you chair or organize there?
We have a different thematic. For example, we speak about memory, we speak about philosophy, we speak about war and book publishing, how the book market changing now after Revolution of Dignity.
How would you assess, you as a young intellectual here, how would you assess the book market? I seem to see over the last 5 years or so a mushrooming of bookstores selling Ukrainian books, not only about history, but world literature translated into Ukrainian, all the sort of hot novels and works in the West, and not only, are now available in Ukrainian. And I guess this process is happening not just in Kyiv and Lviv, but in other major cities, but also in some of the smaller towns.
There is one big problem in this sphere. It's because of all our market with Russia are closed now, and because of it, a lot of publishers have really problem with publishing and with money.
Yeah, making it worthwhile and lucrative, making it economic.
And in this situation, we thought that publishing and all our managers should be in situation when there is a struggle for a person, a struggle for attention, a struggle for interest, and books become themes about person and about state policy and about our culture. And in this situation are difficult, but I think we should find positives in this, because when we speak about person, we speak about critical thinking, we speak about the truth, and because of it, I think our situation will become better.
Okay, thank you. Well, we're coming to the end of our interesting discussion. You are a frequent, shall we say, guest at Cupidon, which is a famous watering hole and restaurant in the center of Kyiv, but also a hub of intellectual life. It has many of the leading writers and poets coming there. There are poetry readings on Saturdays. Cupidon in Kyiv is very much like a microcosm of Ukrainian life, whereas the Lviv Book Fair is the macro level. What changes, just to summarize, have you seen in the last 4 or 5 years after the revolution of Maidan? Is the momentum still there, or are we losing steam?
In this question, I want to speak about another important place and important hub, which is situated in Lviv. It's an art association, Dziga, and it was the first Ukrainian cultural hub, which was made by Markian Ivashishin, and he was one of participants of first Ukrainian revolution, student revolution, before we get independence. And in this association, there are a restaurant, there are art gallery, and it was a platform for all our musicians, artists, literature, and so on.
Well, I had the honor and the pleasure to take part in an evening in Dziga at the last Lviv Book Forum. It was dedicated to the memory on the 10th anniversary of the death of the poet, translator, public activist Yuri Pokalchuk. We had the same in Cupidon, and it was repeated there. Okay, final thoughts. I always ask my guests, what message or what would you like to say in your parting words on this program?
I want to say that all we should think about culture, not only like book, not only like exhibition, not only like good song. We should understand that culture, it's we, and we make this culture just now.
Culture begins from each one of us, from inside us. Inside our heads, our hearts, our sensibilities. Okay, and hopefully we can influence society as well. I thank you very much, Radoslava, for being my guest on this program. You've been listening to a discussion with Radoslava Čech-Mišová, who has represented in this program the International Renaissance Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bogdan.
There's a lively hip-hop scene among Crimean Tatar musicians. Three bands, Seyran 762, Jamdeen, and Rednecks Chatalov, recently worked together on a piece. It's called Hip Hop Never Die and has lyrics in Crimean Tatar and English. Have a listen.
Yeni bit yangıra menim kulağımda mikrofon yanımda hip hop never die ne gerek da her şey yaxşı her şey yolumda kimse çıkmay karşı this shit for my dogs track speed songs I open new doors in musical worlds yes I made many mistakes I was surrounded by fakes hip hop never die Hip-hop kırımda Hip-hop never die Энди башланды рэп, хип-хап, new breath, хорамдан Бизи сэвмесен, лютфен хач янымдан This is my happiness, this is my homeland Бунда яшаип, оля чем мен ясен Не соличен, не язычан Йокса пахылы олуп сычха халаджан Бу адам ичинде, оля шелер олмас Буну тиля, I am not going to lie Hip-hop never die Hip-hop kırımda Hip-hop never die Hip-hop kırımda Hip-hop'u ne? Sen sorasan cevap veririm Hip-hop'u bir ölüm Bu men sana gelirim Aç kapını ya da yaşı kapat Sana da bu icat enci belli Don't stop Sanki NBA rap'e veledi Lakin endini Endi alef gibi Ve men kendi toprağımda seni yerdi Yoksa klik 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 Bütün gün internette Sen için Instagram bir yaşayış oldu Men diye yaşayış ve hip-hop bağlandı Satkıları yanıma koymam Kimse onlarını kabul etmez Hiçbir zaman Hip hop never die Hip hop kırımda Hip hop never die Hip hop kırımda
Join us again next week for Ukraine Calling on Hromadske Radio, when we'll bring you another topical in-depth interview, the news and some music. So tune in. And we'd be happy to receive any feedback from you. Write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Oksana Smerechuk in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.